Today I want to address several aspects of family, but especially to the single ones, young ones, even to those of us who are already married as well, because it cuts across all of us. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. The kind of attitude you have can determine who you become. And today I want to talk about who to be, to become. I have 7 points, but I'm going to be able to touch on 2 today, because the number one is probably going to take me a while. Thank God they didn't give me time. So we'll leave here by 5. Maybe I'll give you all the 7. By 5 o'clock, we'll be done. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Attitude can be a strong weapon and secret to anybody's success in life. Your attitude, my attitude, whether at work, at home, in marriage, yet to be married. For example, when you see the attitude of the person you want to marry, that attitude is the attitude they're going to bring into the marriage. Don't kid yourself that they will change that attitude when they get into the marriage. Hallelujah. For example, if it's somebody who shuts you down all the time, he's going to shut you down in your marriage. If he should put his hand on you and slap you once, he will slap you again when you get married. If she should slap you once, she will slap you again when she gets married. It's an attitude. Praise the Lord. If you are not disciplined, and discipline is a broad word, as it were, but I'm going to touch on a few aspects of it. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Giving all of you to all you do and to the person you have is, for example, I'm with my wife. I'm there. All of me is there. All of me must be there. Not some of me there and the other part of me not there. You have to give everything you have to your family, to your spouse. You plan to get married? Give everything you have. Be ready to give everything you have to the person you are going to be married to. Let me quickly talk. These are just my preambles. Amen. It's important that we trust God. Why do we trust God? We trust God that knowing that only God can work things out for us. God is the prescriber of family. And is the only one that can work family out. Hallelujah. We must be able to trust in God's word. We must be able to trust in God's heart. We must be able to trust in God's prescription for anything. He says, "For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord, the thought of good and not of evil." Praise the Lord. So my point number one, in who to be, to become. I've shared this in a seminar form, but it's going to be different. And I pray, like I prayed, that our heart will be yielded to instruction. I pray that you open up your heart and receive this word. It will help you. Believe me, it will help you. Be strong in the Lord, whether you are a woman or a man, married or yet to be married. Strength in Christ becomes your foundation. Strength in Christ becomes everything you build on in your family. The Bible says in Ephesians 6 and 10, finally, this is the finality. My brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. You are a man, married or yet to be married, and you have no strength in Christ, you are not a good man. You are not a real man. A real man is the man that trusts in God. A real man is a spiritual man. A real woman is a spiritual woman. A real woman is not a woman that is blown away with every kind of things that are in the world. Praise the Lord. You are in church, but you are not grounded spiritually. You are not going nowhere. You are not building anything valuable. I am telling you the truth. If you are a man who is not spiritually grounded, you are going to destroy that woman who is spiritually grounded, who is supposed to be trusting in you, because you are going to kill that spirit in that woman. You woman, you have a man who is spiritually grounded, don't become a Jezebel in that man's life. Praise the Lord. One of the reasons why we need to be spiritually grounded to have a successful marriage is because life will try us. We'll be tried. If you ask people who have been married for so many years, they will tell you how their marriage has been tried. You see marriage on the outside, you don't know what is going on the inside. You don't know how they are maintaining. Those people, you don't know how they maintain what they have. I told her some time ago about my neighbor. He's a blessed memory now. I stood with him one day outside the house. He's been married to his wife for about 56 years or so. Over 50 years, I think. So I asked him, I said, how did you get this far? How did you come to be married this long? You know? And he told me, it's compromise. He said, it's a give and take. We give, we take. It's a lot of work. Praise the Lord. Every area of our lives were tested. He said, and I want you to know, every area of your life will be tested. Whether you are a man, whether you are a woman, whether you are single, yet to marry, or your way to marry, every area of your life will be tested. True life's journey. Sometimes your spouse will say something you don't like that can destroy your home, your attitude towards it. In your marriage, you'll be tempted. Some people have been tempted through the issue of pregnancy because they can't give birth, because the woman cannot get pregnant. Some have been tested because the man his mind is so set that he must have a son. As if I don't have a son, life means nothing. And that's a lie from the pits of hell. Praise the Lord. And some will maltreat their wives. If you don't give me a son, you are leaving this house. I'm going to look for another woman. Not knowing that he himself is the problem. Women don't make boys. Men make boys. It's what you deposit that you collect. What you give is what you get back. What you give is what the woman will give you back. Praise the Lord. It's not the chromosome of the wife that makes the boy. It's the man that makes the boy. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So they go through all those challenges and those temptations. Some have been destroyed. Some navigated and managed it through. Those who are able to manage it through, it's because of their state of being. Some is their family that is putting that pressure on them. If she doesn't give you a son, we'll bring you a wife from the village. Which village? Hallelujah. Oh, we brought you this house help. Not knowing that it's a wife they brought you. Hallelujah. Amen. Your state of being is important. I told you I'm talking about what to be, who to be, to become. You see, you can become whatever you want to become, but you are going to be a miserable become. You have become it, but if you don't have all these foundations, You are not going to be coming for long. Amen? Your state of being will either add value to you or diminish you on the long run. The Bible makes us to understand in Luke chapter 4 and verse 13, at the end of the temptation of Jesus, after Jesus had been tested and tempted of the devil, the Bible says that Satan left him alone for a season. Satan left him for just a while. The Message Bible puts it like this. The devil retreated temporarily. Your marriage will be tested. Your relationship will be tested. Are you able to stand the test of time? If you are not spiritually grounded, you will not be able to stand the test of time. Satan is lying in wait. Many are fall victim. Many women are fall victim, especially women, going from place to place as if they lost something. If you can just spiritually become grounded and seek the face of God and lift up your face to heaven, just like David did, I will lift up my eyes unto the hills. From whence cometh my help? Your help does not come from another man. If God doesn't touch somebody to help you, nobody can help you. Praise the Lord. Rather, they will devalue you, they will devour you, and they will diminish you. Hallelujah. How can you resist the overtures of the devil? How can you resist? You found somebody you are going to marry, and already you have messed up yourselves sexually. That's something about this generation. I've had young girls in school as if they have not had sex, they don't belong. No, you don't need to. Your body is a major virtue you own. You have to keep it. It's sacred. You don't give it to just anybody. You give it on the night of your wedding. Can I hear an amen? Amen. If a man does not value you because you don't give him sex before you get married, he's not your husband. If he cannot wait, or maybe it's you who can't wait, then we have to talk to you too. Praise the Lord. And you know, another thing in that area I was sharing last week, I think with a couple of our ministers, my wife was there. In the Redeemed Christian Church of God in Nigeria, for example, this is the deception of Satan. The church now has said, if you are going to get married, make sure you go and do some tests to make sure that the man, his flag can raise. Some men's flag don't raise. Praise the Lord. So they will be in courtship and they obey God. The sister will think, this is a perfect man. He doesn't even make any move towards me. He doesn't make any move at all. Not knowing that the man can't do nothing. They now get married. On the honeymoon night, the first night, he see me, I see you. The man can't do nothing. The man can't move. Nothing the woman does move. Many people, many women are in the bondage of such marriage. So the church said, you know what? Now, the prerequisite is before we marry you both, you have to go and do a test. Everybody screamed and said, no. But it's a correct test. Because that's part of the enjoyment, the pleasure. It's a pleasure for the married. It's a pleasure for the married. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There's nothing wrong. If you want to marry somebody, go and do some tests. If you are AS, go and do some tests. Because you AS, you marry an AS. Guess what? You are going to give birth possibly to a sickle seller. And you are going to begin to nurse that and say, the devil is a bastard. No, you made the mistake. You are the one that made the mistake. Praise the Lord. Some people, they are HIV positive. They know intentionally, but they won't disclose it. Be careful. Young people, be careful. I've shared this before. There is nobody that they wrote HIV on the top of their head. Some people, the thing is hiding in their body. It's not full-blown AIDS yet, but it's in their blood. Find out. Don't just carry yourself all about town and say because you are boyfriend and girlfriend, I'm sleeping over. No. Before you know it, you are going to be sleeping outside. You use your body to entice a man, he will find another body. Because he will get tired of that body. You see, something about sex that young people especially does not understand is the fact that a time will come. Your mind is not even thinking about sex anymore. Men generally think about sex more than 3,000 times a day. It's in their DNA. But a time will come. That's not going to be in your mindset anymore. That's not going to be your mindset anymore. You want to achieve something for your life. Many men are falling just because of that few minutes pleasure. Tell your neighbor and say, be careful. You must be spiritually grounded. Let me tell you something. You see, when it comes to certain temptation, it's not prayer. The answer is in your feet. You run. There's a temptation you can stand and pray, but there's one you can't stand and pray. You have to run away. Even if they take your coat of many colors, run away. Because you may eat it now. You have eaten your destiny in the future. May that not be your portion. I say, may that not be your portion. May that not be your portion. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. You must be spiritually sensitive and attentive. Amen. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8 to 9. The Bible says, to the man, to the woman, married or yet to be married, planning to be married, be sober. Be sober. Open your eye. Be sober. They say love is blind. Marriage is the opener. Marriage will open your eyes. And you just see that, oh my God, it's not what I thought it was. It's not what I thought it was. That fine girl you saw, straight hair, fine legs, high heels. After a while, she opens her mouth, you will think, who did I marry? You are in courtship. The person that can't pray together with you, what's your business marrying that kind of a person? They're always too busy to pray. They can't discuss the word of God with you. Praise the Lord. What's your business marrying such a person? Hallelujah. When my wife and I met, she was in Baltimore. I was in Kansas City. Every night, we were discussing the word of God. Every night, I had to make sure that this woman is born again. I knew where I was going. I'm like, are you born again? Are you spirit filled? Okay, let's pray. We started praying together. I gave her a book to read so that every day we have something to discuss. It began to build our relationship. I remember after we got married, she was like, when I met you, I knew I met a strange person. He said, you didn't even make any move at all. You didn't even make any move. I'm like, what move? Why am I going to make move on something I'm going to enjoy for the rest of my life? Praise the Lord. They say if it's too hot and you rush to eat it, it will burn you. Isn't that so? Praise the Lord. But today now, I can make any move. Backward move, forward move, sideways move. Move with my smile, with my eye. I'm licensed to make moves. Praise the Lord. Make sure before that guy starts making moves, he's licensed to make moves. Hallelujah. Be sober. Be vigilant. Watch him. Test him. Watch her. Test her. Don't let it be the one that on your wedding day, she's caught up with the best man. They have already pronounced you man and wife. And somebody found both of them in the closet. You are done for that day. You better be vigilant, spiritually vigilant. It says, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. He said, resist him. If you are not spiritually grounded, you can't resist Satan. He's smarter than you. He's spiritually mature than you are. He says, steadfast, resist him. Steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same suffering and experience is experienced by your brotherhood in the world. Your spiritual resistance, what does it mean? It is to enforce the victory that Jesus won for you on the cross of Calvary by his death and his resurrection. Let me tell you something. Whether you are a seeking man or woman, your real strength is found in the Lord. Not in your physical ability, not in your mental ability, not in your emotion. Don't let somebody carry you away with their emotion. Hallelujah. When they say all those sweet nothings to you, especially you single, the guy calls you, you are laying down on your bed. Every lie is lying, is penetrating your destiny. I'm telling you, I was a young boy too before. I'm still young. Amen. They are looking at you. They are not looking at your face. They're looking at what you desire. When you get to them, you understand that. It's looking at everything, not your mind. The man is not even interested in your intelligence because he wants to kill that intelligence. The moment you get married, he will kill that intelligence. Your wife has a master's degree and you say she has to be confined to the kitchen. So all the master's degree is in the kitchen. That's the value. A man that places such value on a woman is not worthy of any woman. Praise the Lord. The woman is supposed to be your destiny helper. It's not your destiny helper in cooking alone. Praise the Lord. And you to learn to cook. Cook for each other. Amen. I cook for my wife a lot. And I enjoy it. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Maybe this is not the kind of message you are expecting today. But I'm going to preach it. Amen. In your quest for settlement, or maybe you are settled for continuous stability, put God first. Putting God first is a prerequisite. Let God be first. A man who can put God first will not honor you. That man will not honor you. The Bible says in Matthew 6:33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Everything you seek in the marriage, in life, will be added unto you. God says, make me first. Put me first. Do what God says first. When both of you are feeling the way you are feeling, contrary to God, remind each other, we must put God first. Don't let your life become a test-driven life, a test-driven destiny. If you don't like it, bring it back. You know, there are some companies now selling cars like that, you know. And many men have turned women into cars like that, that they can test drive. If I don't like it, I'll return it. Amen. Don't let anybody test drive you. Praise the Lord. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. Amen. You know, most problems of this world, most crimes in this world, guess who commits it? It's men. Men commit more crimes than women. Men. Somebody said, and I thought about it, and I'm like, oh wow, what a truth. You know, in every nation, especially in African nations, you have women affairs ministry. Isn't that true? There is no men affairs ministry. Because men don't think they need any ministry in their affairs. Hallelujah. They believe men believe that we know, and we don't know everything. We don't. Why is it that women are the only ones that have affairs ministry? Men too need affairs ministry. You call a men's ministry meeting, majority will not show up. Because their mind is like, what are we going there to do? That is the time they are busy. That is the time they don't have time. A man who does not have time for God, who does not have time to build his spiritual life up, is not a real man. I'm telling you the truth. I'm telling you the truth. A spiritual man is a strong man. A man who knows the presence of God and will take his family there, will take his family in the secret place. When was the last time you led your family in prayer? You are a married man. When was the last time you took your family and said, let us pray? In the morning, let's pray together. When was the last time you blessed your children when they were going out and you spoke a word of blessing? In their lives, you lay hands on them and release the grace of God upon them. A strong man is not apathetic. He cannot be indifferent to the worshiping of God, to the serving God. That's why many men on Sunday, let me tell you something. If a married man comes to church on Sunday, his whole family will follow him. His whole family will follow him. But you find that it's mostly women that you find in church. Praise the Lord. Because that pride, that ego, that we men don't want to submit to God, and not knowing that that's the same ego that can destroy us. Spiritual shallowness or weakness will put you in panic mode because you are not sensitive, you are not aware, you are not aware. That was what happened to Adam. He became less aware. He was spiritual. He lost sight. He became less aware and saw his wife taking the fruit from the tree that God said, don't eat from this one. The Bible said he was there with her. She ate it. What an audacity. And gave him to eat. I have eaten it. You too must eat. But he could have stopped it. He did not stop it. That shallowness of the spirit. Praise the Lord. We don't just wear the crown. When it pleases us, that's the time we say, you know I'm the head. What is the proof of your headship? The man that dismisses your opinion, that's not the right man to marry. If you are married, change your heart. I didn't say change your man. I said change your heart. So you don't go out and say, it's Pastor Uzziah, as you change my mind. Hallelujah. Do you know that shallowness of the spirit even makes the smartest people to do stupid things? They don't weigh the consequences because they don't realize it. Please, young people, don't marry for beauty. The Bible says beauty is vain. Beauty is deceitful. Beauty is vain. But a woman that fears God, a woman who is spiritually grounded, who can pray. One of my mentors of blessed memory, he said when he wanted to get married in the church, he could have married in the choir. I'm not knocking the choir. But he said, you know what? Because somebody can sing. I don't think they are spiritually grounded there. They use talent most of the time. He went to the prayer room. He began to watch. The ladies that always come for prayer, always come for prayer, that's the one he married. He took one of them. That's the one he married. Hallelujah. See me, I'm fine. That's not good for marriage. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. A woman that fears God, a man that fears God. The fear of the Lord is that key, is a key. A spiritual man or woman is one who will not be silent in the presence of sin. You see him doing wrong, you kept quiet. You are not spiritual. You see her doing wrong and you kept quiet. You are not spiritual. You can't be silent in the presence of sin. In your home, you have to speak up. You have to deal with it together. Praise the Lord. Don't overlook sin in the home. Deal with it. You see it in your children, deal with it. Some of us, we are loving our children to death. And you know, people even say, I love you to death. Me, I don't love anybody to death. Oh. I love you to life. Praise the Lord. We hug them to death. There's nothing they do. You don't care. Oh, well, that's just the way he is, you know. Don't mind him. It is, that's not his real person, but he has done it 10 times. Amen? He has done it 10 times. I found out that there are some pastors. This is difficult for me to say where children are, but I'm going to use this grammar. This age and time, people can go and Google. Anyway, even if you lie, immediately they'll Google it and find you out. Praise the Lord. Some pastors sodomizes their wives. They beat them, rape them, and then come on the pulpit to preach. That's not a spiritual man. That's not a spiritual man. Hallelujah. That's not a spiritual man. You must speak up in the presence of sin. If you caught that guy smoking or you smell smoke on his body, you better speak now. You smell alcohol on him, you better speak now. Don't indulge him because he will carry it on. He will now be bold and bring it home. After his lunch or dinner, honey, give me a bottle of Gouda. You now say, Pastor, what can I do now? But if we ask you, well, he was doing it. I thought he would change. That was the time for you to run. Praise the Lord. And the women too, their own. They have their own. The Bible says in Proverbs 27, verse 5 to 6, open rebuke is what? Better than secret love. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. Don't let somebody flatter you to death. Marry somebody who will tell you the truth. My wife knows me. If she say, honey, does this fit me? I will tell you the truth. I won't flatter you. If it doesn't fit you, it doesn't fit you. Whether it's what you like to wear, this one is not good. I don't like it. Praise the Lord. Don't, oh, is this good? Oh, oh, nice, so nice, this, that, that. You see some men, married men, their wife in the street, the way their wives are dressed, half of their body is naked. Who are you showing off to? Who are you showing off to? Oh, you are a man, you leave home in the morning. Nobody sees you until midnight. Every day. Every day. I had an encounter with a young boy just a few days ago. I thought I was going to give you 2 points. This one point that I've been talking on since. He wanted to help me do something at home. Then he brought his two daughters. One he was carrying in the arm, the other one can play around. Why are you bringing, where is their mom? Oh, he said, we are having some problems now. He said, and you know me, inquisitive me. What's going on? Why are you having problems? There's no problem that cannot be solved. He said, well, you know, my job, many times, every day, I wake up 6 in the morning, I leave home, and I don't come back until after midnight every day because of my job. And my wife says she is hard enough. I wanted to tell him that, well, I don't blame the woman. You know,
say, now we are navigating it, we are trying this and that. It's not about trying. It's about balancing. Praise the Lord. You don't marry a woman and keep her at home as a trophy whenever you feel like. Hallelujah. And the same thing with a woman. You are a married woman. Don't become overly a career woman. If you know it's your career you want to marry, marry your career. And especially don't have children. Don't have children. That's my recommendation. If you're a career woman, don't have children. Because if you are going to give that child or those children to somebody else to be looking after, don't have them. Your nanny is always having overtime because you are held up at work. Don't have children. You are punishing them. Praise the Lord. And then, finally, because of my time, the Bible says in Proverbs 27, verse 17, iron sharpens iron. So a man sharpens the countenance of his friend. That person you want to marry, is he going to encourage you? Is he going to encourage you to love the Lord? Is she going to encourage you to love the Lord? Is your husband encouraging you to love God? Is your wife encouraging you to serve God? Or are you the one stopping them from serving God? Are you the one stopping them from loving God? Are you the one not allowing them to be a worker in the church? I've seen some men who frown at their wives being workers in the church. What are you going there for? There are other people. You see, all those talks, God is going to judge. A man is not meant to diminish his spouse, meant to enhance. A woman is meant to enhance his spouse as well. Hand working together, building each other up. Be careful who you choose to come into your life. It's your life. It's the life that God gave you so that you are not regretting your life. A man does not make you complete. A woman does not make you complete. You must be complete first by yourself. I've had some singles. Oh, I'm waiting until I meet the right person. I want to say to you, are you the right person? You are waiting to meet the right person. Are you the right person? Have you become the right person? Are you spiritually grounded? I'm going to talk about courage. I'm going to talk about mercy. I'm going to talk about appreciation. I'm going to talk about humility. I'm going to talk about diligence. I'm going to talk about courage. Are you that person? What's your frame? What's your shape? Next week, by the grace of God, I will show us what shape means. S-H-A-P-E. What's your shape? That's who you need to find out first before you are looking for the right person. Because if you don't know who you are, you will not fit in with somebody else. You just deceive yourself. You just hop from one place to another. And I pray that will not be our portion. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ. I want you to pray this morning. I want you to pray that the hand of God will be upon your home if you are married. That the Lord God Almighty will visit your home and bless your home. That the presence of God will be prominent in your home. You that you are yet to be married, you are believing God. I want you to pray that God will help you to be prepared to become the right person. To become the man you meant to be, the woman you meant to be, so that you can fit in with that person God is bringing your way.